Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter. My dear friends in Christ, a blessed epiphany to you. This is all about what Paul writes in the epistle lesson, that Christ Jesus has come to the Gentiles. We celebrate this epiphany by recognizing the coming of the Magi, the wise men who journey from somewhere out in the east to where Jesus lays, and they worship him. That the Lord should reveal such a marvelous thing outside of his chosen people demonstrates his great love for all people, and especially you. In fact, this love is so great that he would send ministers, even an apostle like Paul, to bring this gospel to you. He sent you Paul that he might suffer on your behalf, that he would face all things, face terrible persecutions and mistreatment, so that you would be brought into the kingdom of God. Look at Paul this morning. He doesn't brag about himself for his own sake, but he points to the very same blessings that he has, that the Gentiles have. At this time, Paul is actually in prison when he writes to the Ephesians. He's in prison to try to protect him from the mobs who would try to kill him. But when he writes that he's a prisoner this morning, you'll note it doesn't say, I'm a prisoner of the steward, I'm a prisoner of Caesar, I'm a prisoner of Rome. He says, I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. That's what we all are. We are all prisoners of Christ Jesus. We're bound to him. This is like a slave to his master. And this actually is pleasing for us, because we're going to share in everything that our Lord goes through. When he suffers, when our master suffers, then we also know that we are going to be rewarded as he is. If he should die, we should die. If he should live, we should live. If he would suffer, we would suffer. If he will be glorified, then we also will be glorified. In all of these things, we, being bound up to Christ, receive all the very same things that our master experiences. That's how close the bond of master and slave is for us. Now, this should be an incredible thought to us, that since the beginning, our Lord revealed that his chosen people were going to be the children of Abraham. And we would think, as so many did, that this is going to be those who come from the line, the lineage of Abraham. But the children of Abraham were never just intended to be those with some kind of genetic heritage, but those who would be adopted as sons and daughters of God through the one offspring. Do you remember God's promise to Abraham that through your offspring the world will be blessed? That offspring is one. One offspring, one son, one seed. And that's Jesus. This is the insight of the mystery that Paul's talking about here. This was never made known, at least fully, until Christ came. But still, even if that's the case, look at all those who would come to worship him through the New Testament. You've got the wise men, right? And then, of course, we have to think of the Samaritans. We think even the Pharisees, the Sadducees. We see the outcasts. We see dirty shepherds. We see the lame, the weak, the widowed. We even see the dead worship our Lord. See, our Lord is one of inclusion, one who brings all people to himself, no matter where they think that they come from. He desires that all humanity would worship him, and so he does all things to bring us to him. And he even sends to the Gentiles their very own apostle, Paul. And there, to those Gentiles, Paul would preach to the world of the good news of Jesus Christ, that by grace, through faith, they were adopted as sons and daughters of God, that the Gentiles would inherit all things from God, just as the chosen Israelites would. The Gentiles would be members of the one body of Christ, together with the Jews, together with those who had considered them unclean. You see, the mystery is that in Christ, all things are made new. All things are cleansed. All things are brought into the life of Christ to receive the unsearchable riches of His grace. Do you realize this mystery even for yourself? That God loves you so much that He brought you into His care, even despite how unclean from your own sin you were or are. You have to realize how sinful you are. You have to. With an understanding of the depth of your depravity, you're never going to realize the incredible gift that you've received through Christ in the forgiveness of sins. The more you realize how low you were, the more you can see how far He has brought you to Himself. I think of that attraction in Chicago where you go up, and I think it's the Sears Tower, or what used to be known as the Sears Tower. They keep renaming these things. And if you didn't really feel that pit in your stomach, you wouldn't really know that you were climbing up, right? Or the little pop in your ears. But with your eyes, everything looks the same. The doors close as you step into the elevator. And when they open, you're on another floor. You don't really know how high up you are. If all the windows were blacked out, you would have no idea where you were. But now they put this big glass cage out there over the building. And you can walk out into the glass and look straight down on the city. And then, and really only then, I think, do you realize how high that is. It's the same with our sin. When we see honestly and really where we came from in our sin, which was less than nothing, and see the righteousness that God has granted to us, only then can we truly understand and appreciate what it is that He has done. You see, I think we should be like Paul. That we should think of ourselves as the least of all of the saints. That way we can see more clearly the work even that's been given to us to do in Christ Jesus. That work that we go out and we share the gospel like Paul, and we trust that God, or I'm sorry, and we see then the trust that God has shown to you in giving you that ability, that gift. And that's really what this is. The desire, the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ is all gift. And the gospel is this, that He, being perfect God and perfect man, was yet sacrificed for your sake, to forgive your sins. And He was raised from the dead to give you the promise of life everlasting. To share that gospel is a gift. You get to be involved with that, bringing others into that same eternal life that you've been given. The Magi didn't just come and worship and then just go home and that was it for them. You have to imagine, they went back telling all that they had seen. The shepherds didn't just come and marvel at the cute little baby and then head off to home. They went out and told everybody. The Samaritans, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the outcasts, the lame, the weak, the widowed, and even the dead that saw Jesus, that heard Jesus, believed in Jesus, went out and they ministered to others with the gospel. Even murderers that Jesus touched would do the same. And there we find Paul, the murderer of Christians, going out and ministering to the Gentiles. You see, this is all a gift. As we share in our Lord's suffering, His glory, His joy, we share then Christ with those around us. We get to share Christ because we've been brought into his kingdom. We get to share Christ because he has bought us with his blood. We get to share Christ because we are his servants, his slaves, his prisoners. And through you, through the church, through you comes all wisdom and knowledge in the world. And that's not because you know all things. It's not because you've been made all powerful. But it's because through you comes the only thing worth knowing, that the wisdom of God is Jesus Christ himself. The wisdom of God is Christ. He's all that we need to know. And it's through the church that the news of who he is and what he's done reaches out to all people and makes even the angels rejoice. You see, it's a gift that we've received and it's a gift that we give. I've talked before about how I think of the saints of St. Peter and the saints of Emmanuel as they started their churches in the mid-1800s. And how because of their work, because of their toil, or their hard work, their toiling hands, as they built their churches, as they called their pastors, as they lived their lives together, as they preached the gospel, as they made their homes in Milwaukee, they give all of this to you. This is the gift from them to you. And we get to leave a gift for those who follow as well. And we can do that because through Christ, who created all things, we're given all things. We can give whatever we want. Through Christ, who suffered all things, we now have access always to our Father, and we can ask for whatever we need. And this is the cool part. Through Christ, because he's the one mediator between God and man, we can always have confidence that our prayers will reach the Father's ears, and that according to his will, he will grant them for the sake of his Son. This is an amazing thing that an unclean person like me should have access to the Father. Yet because Christ dirtied himself for me, because Christ came to this earth for me, took on my sins for me, suffered for me, died for me, was raised for me, ascended to heaven for me, washed me, clothed me, fed me, I can stand boldly and confidently before the Lord and know that I can ask him anything that he has promised. And so too can you. Luther once told this story that if you get to heaven, and for some reason God stands at the gates and says, I don't know you. Because of Christ, you have the authority to go to the Father and take your hand and choke him and tell him, you promised, and I believed. Because our Lord fulfills his promises. You have that kind of access. You can approach the Father with the very confidence of Christ himself and beg for all of those things that he has promised to give you. And so he shall. He's going to give you forgiveness. He's going to give you salvation and eternal life. He's going to give you daily bread and victory over temptation and the devil. And he's going to bring his kingdom to you because you are now part of his Son. And you will be forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.